Greetings. My name is Dave.
And I'm Stacy.
And this is the Plants Changed My Life podcast.
We are a husband and wife team living in Houston, arguably the barbecue capital of Texas, who share a passion for good food and holistic wellness. We are on a mission to inspire people to live their best lives through healthy food choices, one meal at a time. In this podcast, you will hear stories about how real people have experienced awesome changes by embracing a plant-based diet.
Today, we're starting out by sharing our own individual stories. We're also sharing some tips on how you can make the first step towards a plant-based diet. And before we wrap it up, we'll shine a spotlight on our vegan ingredient of the day, jackfruit. So let's get started. So my wife, Stacy, has a really interesting story of her journey to a plant-based life, and she's going to share it with us. But to start out, can you just tell us how plants have changed your life?
So a plant-based diet made a huge impact on my life. A plant-based diet ended my battle with weight, stopped my struggle with cystic acne, and introduced me to real food. It also put me on the path to meet you, my husband, and to give birth to two awesome baby girls.
So can you go ahead and share with us exactly how that journey played out?
I guess I'll start from the beginning. I've never really been a fan of meat. I've always felt kind of weird about eating animals when I was a little girl. Just felt a compassion for animals. I didn't eat a lot of meat. I would basically just eat boneless chicken and turkey, I guess. I just didn't want to be reminded of what I was eating. Once I got to high school, I started struggling with weight, and then when I got to college, I earned my freshman 15, then some. And looking back, I have to say that we used to eat a lot of junk food, like greasy cafeteria food. Pop-Tarts and Hot Pockets were my quick picks, and I just loved candy, bubble gum, Hostess sweets. And I remember me and my roommates, we used to like stack up on this type of food to help us study. Like I really thought I needed sugar so I could focus and concentrate. Like it was my crutch. I didn't drink coffee, but sugar was my thing. It kept me up late at night. So I don't know. It's one thing to feel fat, but it's another thing for somebody else to actually call you fat. I remember I had a male friend and he got angry with me and he called me fat. And I was just so devastated. Like somebody actually called me fat, but it was true. And it just kind of cemented what I just didn't want to acknowledge. But once I graduated from college, I finally felt like I was officially an adult and in charge. And I realized that I needed to do better. I was in charge of my health and I needed to do better. And at the time, I was addicted to Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. That was like the thing, my go-to meal, you know, food on the run. I never really liked McDonald's and Burger King. Chick-fil-A was like the place that I would go to get food. But I mean, I really didn't know. That was, I think, the challenge for me. Like, okay, how am I going to give up these chicken sandwiches? But I actually ended up eating them so much that I became absolutely sick of them. I absolutely overindulged in them so much. I became repulsed by them. So that helped. And I had toyed with the idea of becoming a vegetarian, but it seemed like such a huge leap. I mean, if you don't have meat on your plate, it's like, what are you going to eat? A bunch of sides every day. So let's just say that my first attempt at becoming a vegetarian wasn't successful. I didn't have a plan, and I quickly went back to eating the chicken viola meals we used to have stocked in our freezer. So, yeah. But I started doing more research, and after viewing this little documentary called Meet Your Meat, I knew I couldn't turn back, and I didn't. And once I became vegetarian, I was super surprised to just see that the pounds that I struggle with just quickly drop away. Like, I wasn't, like, doing any sport sort of special fitness regimen. It just was just, like, instant weight loss. So, but I have to say that my diet wasn't the best. I ate a lot of frozen meals, processed foods, fake meats like Morningstar Farms chicken nuggets and the little hot dogs and tofu. Then, after both of my grandmothers died from colon cancer, I started thinking more about food and its impact on health. And I began to wonder if colon cancer was in my destiny. And I didn't want that for me. I didn't want it for my parents. And I just was thinking that we got to do better. At the time, I worked in news in Dallas, and I was the queen of tofu and lean cuisine TV dinners. My work days were really long, and I basically sat at a desk for 10 hours a day. I was also battling cystic acne. I realized I probably had a soy allergy. I was presented with the opportunity to move back to my hometown, Houston, to work at the station I always dreamed of working for, KHOU, and I took it as an opportunity to make a fresh start. So, and at that point, I was so sick of processed food that I decided to give it all up. I couldn't even stomach walking down the aisles of that, you know, in the frozen food section, because just the thought of, like, the meals really, when you think about it, it's like cardboard. You buy these meals that have these sell-by dates that are 20 years out from the purchase. And it's like, when you think about it, it's not real food. I mean, it's real food, but it's not the best food. So I decided that I was going to only eat whole foods, fresh foods, nothing out of a box, nothing out of a can. And I also stopped eating soy products. And that was a challenge, because if you're not eating out of a box or a can, you're basically having to cook or have your food made for you. So I was still working in news, still had a crazy schedule, but basically kind of eating out when I would eat, eating out because I didn't really have time to cook. And when I did cook, I would go to Central Market and buy those pre-prepared meals that had like your vegetables and everything already cut up for you. So you basically had to throw it in a pot and it was easy. So changing over to fresh foods was like opening up a whole new palate. Like, food was so delicious to me. It was just like, I don't know. It was like a huge thing. Like, I was really enjoying food all over again, and I could just really taste food for what it was. Like, the nuance of flavor was like really strong. And also with this change, my, like, giving up the soy and the tofu, like, my cystic acne just went away. Like, it was awesome, because at that point I had started going to a dermatologist, and I was thinking about doing prescription meds, and it was just awesome to not have to go down that route. So, because there's side effects to things like that. But anyway, so I was at my new job, and not only did my cystic acne disappear, but I also dropped dress sizes from a size 6 to a size 2, and I wasn't really working out or anything. But around the same time, I was invited to join my station's cycling team to do the MS-150, which is a 150-mile bike ride from Houston to Austin. And at the time, really, I have to admit, I accepted the challenge, but it seemed impossible because I hadn't been on a bike since I was a little kid. I didn't even have a bike at the time, but I knew that from challenging myself with my diet and doing things that didn't seem like they were going to be possible, I knew that this was something I needed to take on, and I did. So a few years later, I ran into my husband, and we actually connected because I overheard him telling a friend that he was vegan, and I was instantly intrigued. Like, this man, I never really met a man before that was vegan. I don't even think I had met a vegetarian man before, but I was definitely intrigued, and that's how we ended up having a conversation. He was talking about wanting to open up a restaurant, and I was just like, this is somebody I wanted to at least be, I wanted him to be in my life. I wanted him to be a friend at least, you know what I mean? So, and I had always toyed around with the idea of being vegan in my head, but never really thinking that it was a possibility because I was absolutely in love with cheese and I couldn't imagine life without cheese. But just seeing him was inspiring because he was very athletic. He played basketball. He was into cycling and he didn't seem to be like missing out on anything. So I, at the time I was getting ready to do another MS-150. I think it was probably my fourth one. But I told him that after I finished this ride that I was going to become a vegan. And that was what, 4-5 years ago? And I have to say, like, becoming vegan and giving up dairy absolutely cleared my skin up, like, even more. It was pretty awesome. And I had concerns about my cycling performance diminishing, like, without eating eggs and just having those, like, whey protein type of options. But I have to say that my cycling speed and hill climbs, they all improve. So, yes, plants changed my life.
I know that advertisers, oftentimes when it comes down to skin products, they always advertise that it's a external thing and it's what you use, like a soap or an astringent or some type of lotion that can cure your skin. So did you ever think prior to this transition and this lifestyle, did you ever think that it would be something internal, like what you put in your body that would actually cure your condition?
Well, I have to admit that I did think that in the beginning, I felt like there was going to be some magic in a bottle that was going to help clear my skin up. And I have to say that there were some products that did absolutely help my skin to improve, but still, it was never 100%. Like, and then I always, too, was, I didn't want to, like, rely on these products because they're expensive. I didn't want to have to rely on medication over a period of time because once you stop taking it, then your skin goes back to norm, like what it was before. And I couldn't imagine that this was going to be my destiny. And there, I was like, it's got to be something that I'm eating that's making it not what it's supposed to be. So, yeah, and I heard about some people being sensitive to soy, and so that was my first step, was to give up soy. And that absolutely cleared up the cystic acne, because that's, like, the worst type of acne. Like, it's deep, deep, deep beneath your skin, and it's painful. So, and then, you know, I had heard about the dairy connection, too, but like I said, I was addicted to cheese. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go down that road. But once I did, it was a big improvement for sure. So you and I are traveling along the same path, but we each took different routes to get here. So your story of transition involves a series of challenges, which is amazing to me because you just kind of were just step by step, just eliminating stuff cold turkey. Can you tell us more about that?
For me, plants, the way plants changed my life is kind of, it's a little different. It's not too different. I'm sure it changes people's lives in the same way. But for me, it kind of gave me direction. It's kind of served as, this type of lifestyle served as a guide as far as like direction I should go in. It made things easy for me as far as making choices. To start out with, I never really ate too much red meat. As a young child, I did eat red meat, but my family was kind of conscious of the red meat thing in the beginning. And my brother, he actually gave up red meat when he was close to high school. And I'm 5.5 years younger than him. And I was just following him, so I gave up red meat, too. So I kind of did what he did. So he actually went back to eating red meat, but I continued on. And that's kind of the first step in this guide that this lifestyle led me towards. And The next thing I did was, well, actually in college, I was just eating birds. I didn't eat red meat, but I started to think more about how what that actually means, why you choose to not eat red meat. I know it's like in the Quran and I mean, it's part of the Islam religion and other religions also, but like what I actually did was sit down and analyze why would it be in these religious followings and a part of these religious followings. And when I learned that it's just beneficial to eat more plants and not eat as much meat and not eat certain meats because of how they process in your body, I started to just get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And the people around me in college would eat the same way I would eat because we would all, we were kind of a unit. We all would cook together and eat together. If one of us were eating, we all would eat. So we had to eat what I would eat. Therefore, we would cook with ground turkey and things like that and eat chicken and other things. From there, after college, immediately after college, I kind of took the next step. I started going more into like ingredients and looking more into like what's the quality of the food that I'm eating. I'll start looking and shopping in stores and actually reading ingredients and reading packages, things like that. And naturally, one thing that I always tried to do was challenge myself and challenge my brain, challenge my body. And what happened next was I used to eat a lot of donuts. I was like a big donut person. I love donuts. And working in the school system, I ended up working in the school system when I came to Texas. And the thing about working in education is that they always give you sweets and especially donuts. So they definitely feed you in the education system. But every Friday, the school I was at, every Friday they had donuts. So I would eat a couple of them, you know. And some of the people I worked with just challenged me not to eat the donuts for a certain period of time. And I took the challenge to another step, and I said, I'll not eat sweets for about 6 months, you know. And I did it. I mean, once I say I'm going to do something, I just do it. That's what I try to challenge my body and mind for. So once I put it in my mind, I said, okay, that's going to be done. So I did it for 6 months. I didn't eat any sweets. And when you're not eating sweets, you're kind of eliminating a lot of things. You're eliminating some dairies and you're eliminating dairy and eggs most of the time if you're eating any type of cakes or donuts or things like that. Even candies, you'll find that a lot of them have either eggs, dairy, some type of dairy in them. So I eliminated a lot of things, and I realized that. I started studying it and realized this is what I'm giving up. So at the end of the 6 months, in my mind, I said, I can't just go back to what I was doing. I said, I'm going to go ahead and continue on, but how I'm going to continue on is give up dairy. And I gave up dairy at that point and never went back to dairy from then. It's been over like 12 years of being plant-based. And from there, from the dairy, it was just a natural progression. I just took it a step at a time. From then, I think I knew I would have went. I was going to get to this point of being vegan, totally vegan, or totally plant-based. And it just wasn't, I didn't put a date in my mind or a time period in my mind. I just took the steps. I started teaching myself and learning all the different things that my body needs. And then I learned that my body didn't need eggs anymore, you know. So I was eating a lot of eggs at that point, thinking that, okay, the eggs might be giving me a lot of the protein I need or the some type of energy source that I need. But I learned that I was just false thinking, and I eliminated eggs from my diet. And from there, I guess the last thing that I gave up was, I think I gave up chicken. Well, I did actually gave up chicken before giving up the eggs. So I gave up chicken naturally, and then I gave up the eggs. But the last thing I gave up was fish. Fish was a thing that I really, really loved. I said I was going to actually eat it once a year. Like, I would treat myself to a piece of fish once a year. And like maybe I told myself I would go somewhere, like to a trip somewhere and eat a nice piece of fish where people love fish. But I ended up not even doing that. I tried to eat fish one more time and after like giving up for a little bit. And I learned at that point, I learned what it was doing to my body specifically. I would get like floaters in my eyes at certain points, and it kind of would cover my whole eye, and it stopped actually. And once I ate fish, it immediately came back, like immediately after I ate the fish. So I figured, okay, this is exactly what I don't need, you know? So I gave up fish from that point and never ate it again. And that led me to now. Even after giving up fish, it wasn't like the ending point, you know? I continued to learn and learn and learn and learn exactly what each piece of food I was putting in my body would be. And I, just like Stacy, I started eating less processed foods. I started cooking things like patties. I realized I didn't have to go to the store to get a patty all the time. I could make that myself. And I even went raw for about a year. Right before I met Stacy, I was raw. And I was eating raw food diet. And I kind of felt the best. That's the best I ever felt. Like, I think it was just because I had to intake so much, like, real food, like, live food, that's what would make me feel that way. If I had to go back, I wouldn't eat as many nuts. I was eating a lot of nuts at that point, but I think just the idea of eating real, raw, live vegetables and taking in a lot of them is what made me feel really, really, really good. And we're starting to, even now in our family, we're starting to take that on more as far as not, like, thinking more in a way of eating raw, not necessarily being raw, but thinking in the raw mindset, because raw mindset means you eat live food. You go to the garden, and you eat the food from the garden, prepared in a way where you're not actually killing the plant, you know? So not that we're against cooking, we're actually for cooking, but it's just a matter of how you're preparing your food and being mindful of the plants that you're eating. So that was my, in a quick way, that was just my journey to a plant-based lifestyle and how it actually did change my life and give me guidance.
You have some awesome willpower.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was always I think I already prepared my mind for something like this. I would even before this type of diet, I think I can give credit to my brother and sister, because they were always like, of course they're older, but they were always like determined in certain things. Like they would always be physical. Every morning they would get up and run. So I got that in my mind. I said, I gotta be disciplined and get up and run too. So I would run with them around the track. And once they actually left going to school, I would be by myself. I would still get up, go to the gym. I'd be at the gym every day, running, putting up shots, just by myself in the gym. And I would run twice a day at the tracks, and all while playing basketball on teams and going to school and doing things like that. So I think they kind of put that in me, and I just took it to another level. So now we're going to shift into our topic of the day.
How to transition into a plant-based diet.
So transitioning, and we're not the professionals, but we're just going to give you tips from our standpoint. We've been doing it for, like I said, I've been doing this for over 12 years, and my wife even longer as far as plant-based. It's been, over 20 years?
Yeah, about 20 years.
I guess. 20 years. So we learned a little bit in our process, and we feel it's only right for us to share.
So some of the questions we often hear are, how did you do it? You know, I want to get started, but I'm not really sure where to start. And should I just go cold turkey? So today we're going to speak about some tips and ways to make the transition as simple and smooth as possible. And I'll have to say, before you even get started, you have to know your why. Know why you're wanting to become plant-based, because if you don't have a solid reason or a strong reason, then it's going to be harder. And I think that your why is what's going to keep you, it's going to be the glue that keeps you stuck to this goal.
Definitely the why. And once you have your why, what we suggest is take the steps. Know that it's a journey, and it's not always about the time. It's about finishing. So take the steps like we did in our process. The benefit of taking the steps is that you really, really, truly learn. It's authentic learning, because sometimes when you're taking the steps, you take the wrong step. And then you say, okay, well, I don't need to do this. It's like a lot of times people become vegan, and the first thing they do is go eat a lot of French fries, fried French fries from McDonald's. It keeps them full. It's like, I'm losing the meat, so I got to eat some potatoes. Potatoes are cool, but when you're eating fried potatoes that are processed and you don't really know where it's coming from, a lot of times that's where you're gaining weight and things like that, and you're not getting all the nutrients you need. So you could take the wrong step. A lot of people have done it. Actually, I've done it. I mean, I was in McDonald's eating French fries and I don't even remember what you call them, McWraps or something.
Me too. But me too. I was ordering the Egg McMuffin with no egg.
Right, right. Oh yeah,
and biscuits. No sausage.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, and we're real people. We understood that it tastes good to us. Like at that mm-hmm. time, like going to get a croissant when you're vegetarian, an egg and cheese croissant is the bomb at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. But we realized those were wrong steps and had to change. We had to change those steps and realize, okay, we need real food. We need to really know where our food came from. If you're ordering a egg and cheese croissant, you don't know where it came from.
But also, when we're speaking about taking the steps, I feel like it's important to think about your journey and steps and not think like, oh my gosh, I'm taking this road, and what does it look like a year from now? I think you should focus on, you should know what your overall goal is, but think about each step along the way. Like, break it down to each meal of the day, from breakfast, once you get past breakfast, lunch, and then dinner. Like, those little steps will add up to the bigger steps that create the long run. So don't get overwhelmed thinking about the long run without focusing on those little steps in between.
Right, right. Good point. Because, I mean, a lot of people think that, oh, I need to lose weight. Or I feel a lot of times you get into a point where you're forced to kind of change and you say, I have this illness and I got to get rid of this illness. But still, you can't push yourself so hard that you're moving too fast without learning the process. And the idea of, if your goal is to lose weight and you're taking this journey of plant-based, then you have to realize that it's a long-term process.
Step two is change your thinking. You have to really change the way you think about food when you're getting started. For example, when I was getting started, I couldn't imagine like when you create a plate, like a meal, a complete meal that didn't have meat on the plate. And really, there's actually a raw food pyramid. So when you think about putting your plate together, instead of thinking about the traditional food pyramid, you can reference the raw food pyramid. And it has leafy greens at the very bottom. So when you think about putting together your plate, think about filling it with leafy greens. And then as you go up toward the top of the pyramid, your next step up is fruits and vegetables. And from there, as you go up, is sprouts and legumes. And as you get closer to the top, you have nuts and seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds. And you go a step up further to the top, herbs, microgreens, seaweed, wheatgrass. And then at the very top of the pyramid, you have your cold pressed oils. And oils, or you can think of it as fats. And fats don't necessarily need to be oils. You can also get fats from like whole food sources, like avocados.
We spoke recently in an event, and we were enlightened to some things, and things that you kind of just sometimes have to hear to realize. And you intake a lot of oil sometimes just by cooking and things, but you can also get your oils from real food, just like you do from juices. Sometimes you extract juices and you're taking out all the fiber, But if you blend your juices, you keep the fiber, and you could think oils the same way. You can get your oils and your fats from, your fats from the real food. So that's another way to start thinking. Also, just changing your thinking in the way that, not, and this doesn't just apply to plant-based. One, you have to, if you start thinking a certain way, you'll start becoming that. So if you start thinking that you will live long time and that 40, 30, 40, 50 years old is not the time where you start to, your body starts to deteriorate, but your body starts keep sustaining itself and growing. Stacy's father is a prime example of this. He's in his 70s, and he's a consistent runner. He consistently goes to the gym, even when he comes and visits us from North Texas, visiting us in Houston. He makes sure that he goes to the gym in the morning or does some type of running. And he just has the mindset. He's had the mindset of thinking that he still has his youth. And it shows that just your thinking can be the difference. So start thinking that you're going to live a long time. Human beings are made to live a long time. It's unfortunate things like accidents and things like that that take our lives. But it should not be illness and what we're putting in our body taking our lives. So we can make a difference with that.
Right. So your body is your temple. You only get one. So when you think about that, you have to think, okay, I'm going to take the best steps to am I going to eat the best foods? I'm going to do what it's needed because, I mean, this is what you have. You can't trade it in, and there's no amount of money in the world that can buy you something different once your body starts to break down. So you have to treat your body like a temple and keep that in mind with every decision you make.
One other thing that I want to put in your mind is to start to become a conscious eater. A conscious eater, when you hear the word conscious, that means thinking. So start thinking about your eating. Actually be a deliberate thinker about your eating. That means when I go to the store, I'm going to grab some kale, right? You hear the word kale. I'm going to grab some spinach. Why am I grabbing the spinach? This spinach is a dark leafy green. Dark leafy greens give me certain things. They give me chlorophyll. They give me certain nutrients that I need. They're high in nutrients the darker they are. So start thinking about all these things. In order to do that, you have to do your research too. But at the same time, once you do your research and you start thinking and questioning, you become a conscious eater. That conscious eater, the more you're a conscious eater, the easier it's going to become. Our brains want to work as efficiently as possible. So therefore, they store things, habits, in our subconscious. So therefore, it doesn't have to work in order to do something that's a habit. So the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit, the more it's in your subconscious brain, and then it becomes easy. So the more you are a conscious eater, the easier it is to become a healthy eater because it's going to be just like clockwork. So I know changing your diet can seem difficult, but if you do this long enough, if you think about your eating long enough and change your thinking long enough, it's going to just be simple.
Another thing to consider when you're taking those first steps toward a plant-based life is that preparation is everything. Like having a plan, food prep is an awesome time saver. Like if you get busy during the week, it's good to have things in the refrigerator that are already chopped up and a plan for those things so that you're not in a crunch and you're eating something that you shouldn't eat. And I think that's important no matter what type of diet you're following. Just having a good meal prep sort of time one day out of the week. And also just in those early stages as you're making that transition, I think you might want to have some transition recipes on hand. And I know when I first started out, I did a lot of meat substitutes. There are processed substitutes, but now with the knowledge I have now, I know there's other things that you can do without just doing processed substitutes. And I have to tell you that a lot of your favorites that you don't even think about being vegan can be veganized, like from spaghetti to burgers to nachos. But there's a lot of websites out there actually that are really awesome. Off the top of my head, there's one that I have bookmarked in the past. It's called Hell yeah, it's vegan. And they have like a section on that site that veganizes just about anything you can think of, from pancakes to like hot dogs, burgers.
A lot of desserts. They have desserts on there too.
A lot of desserts. Yeah, yeah. Right. So that's a resource too to keep in mind.
So now we're going to shift into our next segment, which is the food of the day. And today's food of the day is?
Jackfruit.
Jackfruit, jackfruit. It's that thing that everybody's heard recently. You might have tasted it at your maybe favorite vegan restaurant, or you saw it in your local
grocery store
aisle. If you have been fearful of it, it does look pretty scary when the actual fruit. If you've been fearful of it, go ahead and lose that fear, because we're going to tell you a little bit about it. Jackfruit, just a little history and a little knowledge about it. It's native of South and Southeast Asia. In the Bangladesh and Thailand are the largest producers of it in those areas. It's the largest tree-borne fruit in the world, and it gets pretty big, as you guys know. The largest one that I think they've recorded was about 120 pounds, but they can get up to about 100 pounds on an average. They produce an abundant amount of food, so this is another thing to think about, and a good thing that it has popularity because it can produce a lot of food for people. And one of the lesser known facts about jackfruit is that the seed is actually edible. You can roast the seed or boil it, and it has a lot of nutrients. You'll learn in the show, we'll teach you and we'll tell you more about seeds in general, because they pack a lot of nutrients. It's a great source of protein, vitamin C, potassium, and magnesium. It's also rich in antioxidants. Speaking about the seeds again, they're iron-rich, good source of vitamin A, protein, and manganese.
It's kind of like one of those things like tofu, where it's like a blank slate, and it's kind of like a sponge. It takes on flavors very well, so it's open to various seasoning styles. You could add it to your barbecue plates, tacos, burritos, pizza, curries, wats. It's really something I highly recommend that everybody has in their pantry. Like, it's especially, we use it as a good go-to for those, okay, we don't really have a plan, what are we going to eat type of situations.
We do get like the prepackaged jackfruit that's already processed. Thing about that, you have to be careful. Look at your sodium content, because they do use salt to preserve. So look at your sodium content and try to find one with good ingredients. But we do suggest everybody actually grab a jackfruit, a real fruit, and process it yourself. It's an experience. What you do is cut it up and then pull the pods out, pull the actual fruit out. They're little pods. So try it once at least, even if you're going to use the cans or the packages, try it once.
And you don't have to, and I will have to say, because I'm very budget conscious, I think that jackfruit, the per pound, is kind of expensive, but at certain stores, grocery stores, you can buy it like already halved, like in like a watermelon, like in sections. So you don't have to buy like a whole one to like carry around yourself, which would be more expensive. But yeah, you have the option of getting one that's like sliced in half or in quarters.
Right. All right, and oh yeah, last thing about jackfruit is it's a fruit, so it does ripen. The darker it is, when it's green, of course, it's unripe, and that's when you can use it for cooking and taking on like a different substitutes for meat or something like that, where you're pulled porks or your shredded chickens. But as it gets ripe, as it ripens, it, of course, it gets sweet. So it's a fruit that's kind of has a distinct taste. So I suggest you try it when it's ripe and try it also when it's unripe.
But also I have to say that if you're getting the jackfruit in the can, I remember you gave one of your coworkers a can before and he just kind of threw it in a skillet in big clumps. Oh, yeah. And so I think it's important to mention that you would want to like separate the clumps or chop them up with a with a knife so that they're in smaller pieces. I think it helps to infuse it with flavor better that way when it's not like in these huge chunks.
Right, right, right. And there's some interesting, if you go online, there's some good recipes and things people are doing. People are doing some really, really good stuff with jackfruit.
Really
there's
creative.
There's a restaurant here that's doing
ribs,
jackfruit ribs, and it looks mm-hmm. just like ribs. Also, there's some people doing brisket with it. Of course, we're in Texas. You got mm-hmm. the brisket. And then a really good chef here that I worked with, he did smoked jackfruit in a smoker. That was really, really delicious.
So. And another chef, my husband, Dave, created, you know how they, people are doing cauliflower nuggets? He did nuggets with jackfruit, and it was actually really good.
And now we're doing what, Stacey?
So now let's talk about plant-based news and notes.
News and notes. So what's the news and notes for
today? So this is a section where we give you the rundown on some of the standout stories, game changers, and innovators in the plant-based world.
Right. So what today, are we talking about?
So today we're talking about a gluten-free vegan cookie company called Partake Foods. And actually, they brand themselves as allergy friendly, not necessarily vegan. But I was listening to an interview with the founder, and she spoke about her biggest audience is the vegan population.
Right, right.
So Partake Foods is a minority owned company that makes these cookies. There is a variety of flavors. She has double chocolate, a carrot oat cookie, and there is one more. I can't think of the name of it, but we recently found them at Whole Foods. You can also order them online, and then they're in other stores across the country.
Even though it's notable in itself, it takes it over the top because Jay-Z's venture capital firm, Marcy's Venture Partners, has invested $1
million
into this company.
And, $1 million.
Right, right. So, and it's, I mean, not that the popularity and like getting into that pop culture is the important thing. But it speaks a lot for this lifestyle. And I actually like that it's getting popular and going into the pop world because I think that makes more and more healthy people. And that's what I like to see.
That's a great note to end on. We want to thank you for listening in to the Plants Change My Life podcast. Please follow us at Plants Change My Life on Instagram and Facebook. You can also head over to plantschangemylife.com to get more information and resources. We also have Plants Change My Life t-shirts, and you can support our mission by purchasing a t-shirt. If you or someone you know would love to share how plants have changed your life, please get in touch with us via our email, stories@plantschangemylife.com.
All right, so that's it, guys. Thank you for listening in. Respect, and always remember, when you eat good,
you reap good.
You reap good. Peace.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life.
Plants change my life. Plants change my life.